Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm the girl who has everything?
You know, this song reminds me of a friend of mine. How many
wonders Greg Paul? Ted DiBiase.
That's it. She's got everything. She's got everything, this friend of mine.
Really? Like a tail?
I've got who's it. I'd like this to play softly in the background while I read this bio.
Okay.
You ready?
Do you want to do the interview too? I can put it on loop.
No.
Nope.
I think by the time we get to the interview, I'll be sick of the song.
All right.
Here we go. She does want more. Actress, producer, New York Times bestselling author, and inspirational speaker Candace Cameron Bure is both outspoken and passionate about her family and faith. Known to millions worldwide from her role as DJ Tanner on the iconic family sitcom Full House, Candace Cameron Bure continues to flourish in the entertainment industry as a role model to women of all ages. With an acting career that started at the age of 5, Candace Cameron Bure grew up in show business alongside her brother Kirk Cameron and has appeared in countless national television commercials, primetime hits, TV movies, and... Okay, I can't do this anymore. This is disgusting. Ladies and gentlemen, Candace Cameron Bure! Wandering free, wish I could be part
of that world. Oh my gosh, Drew! Drew!
Yes, hello? Hello? Hello?
I only want to be known as Ariel from Dancing with the Stars now. We're just going to change that bio.
Oh, yeah. Man, those were the biggest coconut shells I've ever seen in my life.
Seashells.
Oh, sorry, seashells. Sorry.
They were pretty large. I made them the biggest ones they could find.
This is embarrassing. So where are you right now? Are you at the hockey arena? You sound garbly. Are you inside a big iron steel building?
I'm not. I'm actually in my car.
Oh, okay.
Driving home from the hockey arena.
Okay. Well, that's all right. All right, and you're not going to get a ticket or anything while you're driving your black Audi?
I might, and I'll send you the bill if I do.
So listen, what is with the Bure family doing dance competitions and having to be the underdog the whole time?
Right?
Jumping.
So true. I have no idea. I don't know. But it was really fun.
For those of you who don't remember, her husband, Valerie Bure, hockey player extraordinaire, was picked to be in, what was that called? A show called again? What was it called?
Battle of the Blades.
Battle of the Blades, that's right. CBC's Battle of the Blades. And so that was the only season I followed because there's somebody in it that I cared about. And I'm telling you, he was in the bottom deal or whatever it is, almost eliminated like every stinking show. And then he won the whole daggum thing and he won the trophy. And then Ekaterina Gordiba or whatever her name is, she dropped the stinking trophy and broke it.
I know. That was so funny.
But then along comes Ariel here and... You know, I suck at dancing. I'm like Elaine from Seinfeld. I'm an awkward white girl. What do I do?
Nice, Drew.
Honestly, Candace, I am just stupid, stupid proud of you because I know how much. No, I know how much work this was, and I know not just physical work, but I know you really. You had a stinking sports psychologist get into your brain on this one. What happened to you?
I know, I did. It was, I couldn't wait to be on this show. I'd wanted to be on it for a very long time.
9 years.
It finally worked out. And so I went in so enthusiastic, and I really loved the whole experience. But I guess I knew a lot of what to expect going into it, because I had friends that were on the show, and I met with them before, and they kind of were giving me the scoop. And then having had Val been on a similar show, I mean, I went through the whole run with him, and, you know, I knew what to expect physically and even mentally to a degree. But once I started the show, I didn't realize how mental the game was. And I never experienced something like that before. I've never done theater. I've never done something that's live like that. I've always had the ability to say cut, like let's redo if I get something wrong. And so I never had the pressure of performing live every week, and it totally got to my head, and I got so nervous about it that, eventually I was like, we have to figure out something, like somehow I'm going to do this every week, because right now I'm not enjoying it anymore. And that's when the show was like, why don't we go see a sports psychologist? Because people deal with this all the time. So I was game, and she just helped me realize that so much of it is mental, and that's what separates elite athletes from regular athletes, because they know how to mentally handle that. So that was a huge experience for me, and something I'm still looking forward to, literally wrapping my brain around even more and becoming more confident and comfortable in that area.
See, that's just so crazy because, you know, you are from... Okay, how do I say this without sounding as sucky up as I'm going to sound? You are one of the most confident and, you know, with it people I know. And yeah, I just said that publicly. And and for you to stumble through this is just helps me not feel like the big loser I usually feel like. Because if you are struggling with this, and by the way, why didn't you just pray more? Why didn't you just read your Bible more? That should have gotten you through this. You don't need a sports psychologist. Psychology is from Satan.
That's funny. I know you're being sarcastic, but for all the listeners, I was reading my Bible and I was praying every day, and I had an entire prayer team that would get daily prayer requests from me, and then I had my other prayer team and pastor in Texas that were calling me every day before the show. I had about 10 people praying with me on the phone. And so that was a huge, huge part of it. But you know what? God gives us people in our lives that can help us with the physical, the right now, the in the moment. Because, you know, I trust God with everything that I have, but it doesn't mean that God's going to whisper literally to me, just breathe, Candace. I mean, he might, but I needed someone to physically tell me, you need to breathe. You need to breathe and calm your nerves down. So God gave me that through a sports psychologist. But it didn't mean I stopped praying or stopped reading my Bible. God was there along with me the whole way. But he used people to help me get through it.
Right, right. Okay, well, you know, whenever somebody goes on real television and... no, what I mean is, you know, they're... Hold on, let me back that up. So whenever a well-known, you know, Jesus person does a real television thing, sometimes it doesn't come over that well. Sometimes they come across a little preachy. Sometimes they come across a little sheltered and naive. Sometimes they come across hypocritical. I don't know, whatever. Inauthentic. But I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday, Dina DeVito, and Dina was the manager of the Judds for many, many years. And she said, she, amongst other people, said the same thing. So proud of you in the way you were just so authentic about your life, about who you are as a person, about and just the God stuff was just authentic. It didn't seem shticky. You know what I mean?
Well, thank you. I hope it never does. I hope I'm not that person. I don't want to be that person. And you know, the interesting thing about being able to share the faith part of my life on the show is that you kind of never know where a network or producers stand on that. Because when we were rehearsing and doing the live show, I mean, we were in rehearsal for about, you know, 10 hours a day, kind of average.
Wow.
And you have a camera on you 24/7. You never... There's not a moment once you walk in that you do not have a microphone on and a camera on you.
So then inevitably it's up to somebody afterwards to go through with all that footage and choose what they're going to put on?
Exactly. And they edit however they want you to look. They edit your sound bites. So they had hundreds of hours of material on me. And they there was so much great material, lots of fun stuff with Mark and me. And you never know what they're going to choose for the week. And the producers chose a lot of the parts where I talked about my faith. But trust me, I wasn't talking about my faith 24/7. There were moments when I did because it is who I am. But I wasn't, it's not like that was all I was talking about, but they chose to use that. And I was really happy that they did. It was so cool to see that they did. But for all the people that kind of go, gosh, that's all you talk about. And you're, I'm kind of like, no, it's really not. They are choosing a two minute clip, and they have hundreds of hours of footage.
Yeah. I mean, they could have gone all Duck Dynasty on your butt, you know. They could. No, I'm just saying they could have cut it and filtered it and said, we're not having any of that stuff here. And, you know, her views on
totally.
This. Well, whatever. Anyway. Okay. Yeah. So do you think you would have won if you had gotten all skanky?
No, definitely not.
Okay. Because my first.
I think I may have gotten higher scores, but
right.
I don't think I would have won because I think. The reason why I got as far as I did was because of my audience, my
right.
fans voting for me. That was really clear. So I think if I went that other route, that would not have connected to my fans, and
yeah.
they would have known that I would have compromised myself.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah, I remember my first text to you after the very first show. You know, you had just gone on about how, you know, you don't want to be skanky. You don't want to be the erotic stripper out there who's, you know, doing the funky jive with their partner and, oh, maybe they're having an affair kind of crap, right? So you just didn't
right.
want to do that. And then all of a sudden you go out to your first dance and you're laying on the ground and you've got some kind of a skirt on. And your first dance move was you took your skirt and kind of covered up your area a little more.
I know. And your text was hilarious because I didn't even know that I did. And then when I watched the video back, I went, oh. There we go. I was making sure everything was covered properly before I laid down.
So funny. Okay, how are the bruised ribs? Are you completely recovered?
No, not at all. My ribs are still hurting, and my bruises on my lower back are just painful to look at. I hurt when I sit down still. So I think I'm going to need another week or two to fully recover.
Wow. Was Val this banged up when he came back? Of course, he wasn't the one being thrown up in the air and thrown around like you were.
Right. But he actually was quite banged up. And I don't remember if he had shoulder surgery right after.
Oh, yeah. No, that sounds right.
He did it. I think he did have because he was lifting Katya and his shoulder was really messed up from all the lift.
So again, there's something with your family and broken shoulders. What did you do to Mark's shoulder, Candace?
I know. What did I do? Apparently, I swung my leg around too hard. You know what? His shoulder was actually bothering him the whole week because he had already injured one of his shoulders. So then the healthy shoulder was compromising for the hurt shoulder, and it was just too much. I mean, we practiced so hard. We did so many lifts. Many of which did not end up making it into the dance because we had to modify it because of his shoulder. But we were trying out so many different lifts that it really aggravated his shoulder. And that's what really bruised me up were all the rehearsals of trying to figure out what we were going to do for the dance.
Right.
And we had some crazy, amazing stuff going on that ultimately we couldn't do because of Mark's shoulder. So, you know, he went down in rehearsal and that was such a tough day. It was like, I don't think, I was crying the whole morning because I was so physically exhausted and I was getting irritated and Mark was irritated. And then we go to rehearsal and then he pops his shoulder out. And it was like, could this day get any worse?
Wow. Did you guys ever fight? Did you have a like nose to nose screaming match or anything?
We didn't, well, here's the thing. We didn't really fight. We never yelled at each other, but we had ups and downs. We had a couple of moments. And, there was one moment that, he said something and irritated me. And I got very serious and I said, if you do that again, I'm going to punch you. And he thought it was the funniest thing ever.
Sorry, so did I. Oh.
And he was like, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? You want to punch me? Go ahead, right now. And I said, don't even, because I really will. And I grew up with a brother, and I will punch you and hurt you. And he just thought I was like a little kid sister, thought it was hilarious. So he, of course, starts like tapping me. And
poking you and.
Yeah, and oh yeah, and just egging me on. So we might have like had a slight punching wrestling match. Yeah, because I just was over it. So and then it was good. And then we laughed after and went, that was great. We both feel better. I kind of punched you and got it out. And then let's go practice again. And we have such a fun relationship. And it really was so brotherly and sisterly. And that's what I wanted. And Mark couldn't have been a better partner for me. We really had a blast.
Yeah. I mean, I've never watched a show. By the way, thanks for making me watch a show I never wanted to watch. In my life. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
Jerk. But as I got to know the cast, you know, the dancers, thought, ooh, man, if you tried your whole Little Miss Innocent thing with that guy, he would not have been happy. You know, there seem to be a few male dancers that want their partners to kind of, you know, giddy up and grab a pole. You know what I mean?
No, well said. yeah, you know, I absolutely loved everyone that was on the show, the pros, the celebs, but you know, just because I am a married woman and am aware of those things, I really prayed about who my partner would be. And you know what? God totally answered the prayers and the producers gave me the perfect partner for me.
Yeah, yeah. So cool for me to see the kids there. You know, whenever I record the thing, because I'm not into watching live television and being hijacked for, you know, by commercials and time. So record the thing and I would pause it to see who was sitting in the audience, who got invited to the show. And I saw your best friend. Oh, I can't remember her name. But anyway, I saw her.
Lenny.
Right. And I saw your sister and I saw Lori Loughlin. She's gorgeous, by the way. And I saw your kids. Were there kids there every stinking week?
Val and the kids were there every single week. Val, everyone kept asking me, because they saw him at the very beginning, the first few shows, and then I had so many comments and questions going, where's your husband? Why isn't he coming to the show? We never see him.
Right.
My husband was there every single show, but eventually my girlfriends kept switching seats, so they were either booting him out of his seat because they just wanted to be closer.
Right.
And you know Val.
Yeah.
Val's like a man of very few words, and he just, you know, is like, go ahead, do... You know, it doesn't make a difference to him if he sits in row one or row 30 in the back. It just doesn't. And so eventually he would kind of come in and like to sit close for my performance. But then he was really happy sitting in the back of the audience because that's just how he is. But he was there.
All
they
those
just didn't show him on camera. He also isn't as personable on camera as my daughter Natasha, so they like cut to every reaction shot of Natasha, but
it's exactly
like, Val always had a deadpan face every time, so they just got over it and the camera wouldn't even bother cutting to him. That's why no one saw him.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I thought no, they're not going to Val anymore because he's just sitting there looking like he's gonna have a dump. And then and Natasha is like bawling. You know, you and Natasha are, you've got to bash heads, you know, like a mother daughter, because you're so similar. You both have your emotions, you know. And there was that one time where she, you know, there was that clip about her saying, you know, that my mom's always been there for me, and now I get a chance to be there for her. And oh, I don't know, it was just kind of cool. It was really kind of neat. So
it was. It was awesome.
All right. Well, listen, I don't know how to say this so that you actually believe it, but I'm so stinking proud of you, Candace. Great job.
Thank you.
Great job. And I'm actually quite stoked to see what this will kind of lead towards. I know you're probably signed up for another 106 movies with the Hallmark Channel because...
I am.
Yeah, there you go. It's a perfect fit. I love those people over there. Just a great staff that I've met, and I know you are doing great things with them. So, but I'm also very interested to see what else there is around the corner for you. So, anyway... Okay.
Thanks. I'm sure I'll be back to share it all with you.
I hope so. Candace, thank you so much again for taking the time with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
See you, chick.
Love you all.
Bye.
Bye.
Candace Cameron Bure on The Drew Marshall Show. I think that might be her ninth time. She has taken over from Kathy Lee. Short break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
It's hard to find quality guest speakers these days. If they're interesting, they're usually expensive. And if they're cheap, they're usually boring. Well, here's someone who's both expensive and boring. Drew Marshall is a high school dropout who tried to become a pro football player but didn't make it. He then tried to become a firefighter and didn't make it. Now he's trying to become a stand-up comic. Good luck with that, Mr. Marshall. But If you're looking for someone who's unpredictable, incredibly honest, provocative, genuine, then we've got the right guy. Everyone seems to be an expert on something these days. Why not book someone who's an expert on nothing, except how to be brutally honest about yourself and your faith? To book Drew Marshall as your guest speaker, go to drewmarshall.ca.